Seeing Eye Law. Good day, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening wherever you are out there. And welcome to the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast, also known as Kai Corner. I am your co-host, Haida intern curator, Jason Alsop, a.k.a. Gogwis, a.k.a. Jace El Nino. And of course, I'm joined in studio here with my illustrious co-host, avid tweeter Peter Moore.
Hello, everybody, and we'd like to welcome you back to our second edition of the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast. We are so happy and so proud of the way that the first episode turned out, where we were discussing the show that we have on at the Haida Gwaii Museum that we like to call
Gina Suda Tol Hasi.
But as we promised, every Friday, we're bringing you a new topic and a new theme that we're going to be discussing. And this week's topic is
Skittigat Days.
For the theme of this week's podcast, we wanted to not only just feature the events and activities and excitement that are going to happen this weekend, we also wanted to dig a little deeper and find out a little bit more about the history of Skittigat Days, how it started, and talk to some of the players who are involved in some of the major events to learn a little bit more about some of the connections that we can draw from Skittigat Days, our contemporary Haida culture, to our history and culture here at the Haida Gwaii Museum. So we're really excited for this week's podcast, and we're really grateful for our guests who joined us this week. So without further ado, let's get on with our episode sting of
Kai Corner.
And here we are back in our special studio, our home, our show, what we're commonly now known as
Kai Corner.
And this week we are talking about Skittigat Days. And so we're on a quest here to find out how this all got started here in Skittigat. So today we're joined in studio by Philip Gladstone, a respected Skittigat community member, to help find out more about how Skittigat Days started. Hi, Phil.
Good afternoon.
So we're glad you're able to spend some time with us here today to help us find out more about Skittigat Days. So we understand that you were actually the chief counselor back in June 1978, we believe, when the very first sort of the origins of Skittigat Days began with the opening of the, which is now the Ship Longhouse, which then was the Skittigat Band Council Administration Office, and the raising of Bill Reed's dogfish pole. Can you tell us a little bit what you remember about being there, being chief counselor, and being part of opening the longhouse and raising the dogfish pole?
Well, it's probably a long story, but I think it started off, I can't remember how the longhouse came about, with Bill Reed, I think. And so we had to go after the wood, eh? Uh-huh. And then we got some of the wood, and we ended up having to wait here and there to get the beams all cut, and then when the beams were cut, then we had to go and get some more wood to cut all the rest of the building up.
For our listeners at home, we're talking about Western Red Cedar here, which was very abundant, and we're sort of famous for here on Haida Gwaii. Our longhouses are made of the Western Red Cedar. Can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit more about, you know, the size of these trees and the size of the beams and how, what a tough task that is to get that material together?
Oh, yeah. Well, the companies had to get into the cedar country, where the big cedars grow. They up to 6 feet and more, and they had to be sound wood so that the beams would be properly cut, and it was quite a process, because we had to get a guy in with a special saw and everything like that to cut these big logs. It was a specially built machine, with two power saws, one on each end. And the guy that did it was Bill Christofferson. So I think Flash was the guy who ended up, I think that were his saws. And he lived on Vancouver Island, I think.
Flash and Barb?
Yeah. Yeah, and then they used that saw to do a lot of the milling for the wood. The companies were pretty good in getting a lot of the good wood, and the brought it in a logging truck, and then they put it in the water and then towed them up the coast a ways, and then arranged for a skeeter to go up there to yard them in and put them across the road. And that's where they started to cut a lot of the beams, was up at Balance Rock, their area there, eh?
Balance
Rock. It was right where the tank is up there. And it's quite an area. There was an area cleared in there, so that's where we ended up getting all the beams cut.
So that was the very first longhouse that was constructed and built in Skidigate in roughly over 100 years at that time. And at the same time was the historic raising of the dogfish pole that Bill Reed carved for Skidigate. And I understand you were also, not in addition to chief counselor, were part of the team that was involved in raising that pole.
That's right, yeah.
Can you kind of share a little bit more about what that's like to be involved in raising the first pole in Skidigate in over 100 years?
It was a pretty exciting day. Well, we had Wes Pearson there, and he was a good high rigger, and he did all the threading of the lines and laid everything out, and they did the old style of raising the pole off the ground and using the cross pieces for holding it up, and he pretty well did the raising of the instruction of which line to pull on and which line to hold and whatnot, because once that thing went up, it would be like with the nylon rope, it would be like a rubber band. It would just jump. So they had to be very careful as it got further and further up, so the last part wouldn't be a tip over, like, you know. But
I don't want that to happen.
We had to, I built the band for it at the shop there, so we put on the bottom, because the beam, when it looked like a big heavy beam, but when you got a big pole on it, it was pretty flexible, eh? So we had to tie the bottom in so that it couldn't kick out. So
for our listeners at home, Wesley Pearson, late Wesley Pearson was mentioned here. He probably had the perfect booming voice for a job like that and keep everybody on the same page there. So I think that's sort of exciting to hear someone who is involved in that. And it is to us, to our generation, we sort of, have a hard time grasping the significance of being involved in a cultural event like that, when for a long time that wasn't a part of the community. A lot of cultural practices were suppressed. And so it must be amazing or sort of surreal to see this resurgence of Haida culture in your lifetime and see, how your grandkids grow up so much differently than you do, and how that, those practices are now a lot more common within our culture. And up here at Kyolnagai at the Haida Heritage Center, and we had the 6 poles raised here. A few other poles have been raised in Skidigate since then. So can you share a little bit with our listeners any stories you might have or any interactions with Bill Reed throughout that process?
Building the longhouse, he was sort of told us how building should be built, but behind it was the Devonian Foundation from Alberta. So they helped out with a grant from that, their organization, and that's how the building got put together. So Bill Reed, it was a friend of Bill Reed's, and they produced a lot of they had the plans done up and everything for all the building. The architect did all the building or drawings for the building and whatnot. So they did, had to cut all the beams just to fit the right ways and everything like that. So
figure it out.
Yeah.
So that would have been sort of at that time, I guess, Bill was just maybe beginning to start to spend some more time in the community and start some of these projects. I mean, later we had Lutos and he took on some other artists, but do you have any insights of about Bill or how that process went with him sort of coming back to Skidigate and becoming part of the community and people getting to know him a little bit?
Well, I knew Bill Reed for all my life. He was my first cousin, eh?
Okay.
So, yeah. So
cousins.
Coming back here, he used to come up and visit my Chinai, eh? And that's when he started getting into carving, I think, because he used to, he was a news reporter for CBC, eh? Monday, we were always working all the time, eh? So we didn't get to see a lot of what was going on until after something was done, eh? So, yeah but.
And your Chinai is Charles?
Charlie Gladstone, yeah.
So we actually, I think here in the collection here, I think we actually have your Chinai's argillite carving tools here on display. He donated back to the museum. Or two, I think, Bill, and eventually they made their way here.
I think, well, actually, these tools were put in here by my Uncle Percy. Yeah. So we came up. He brought me up here one day, and he said, okay, you can sign for all this stuff. So they're in here. Yeah.
And we're very grateful for that. It's always, you know, it's a big part of our history, and your Chennai help carry on the carving tradition, you know, during what they call the dark years. So it's an important part of our collection. For our listeners at home, if you are also interested in, you know, learning more about the pole raising, right now we do have an exhibition in our temporary gallery, which we call Gina Suda Tol Khasi, Came to Tell Something. And within the exhibition, there is a piece by Bill Reed, a dogfish pendant, but we also have photographs from that time period. There's a photograph of the pole being raised, a photograph of all the chiefs gathering together. You can see them all in their regalia there. And, you know, just really sort of try to capture those moments, which to, you know, like I said, Peter and myself weren't even a twinkle in the eye when that stuff was happening. So it's really important for us to be able to share that recent history with our visitors. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the pole raising and the longhouse opening. But really, we're also here to talk about Skidigit Days coming up this weekend. You've been here throughout all of these celebrations each year. You know, there's so many fun events going on, the marathon and all the good food, fried bread, softball, canoe races, fish splitting, kids races. There's so many things going on. I'm just curious if there's any event or anything that you're looking forward to most this year, or any favorite activities or events at Skidigit Days that you enjoy.
Well, the first thing that happens is breakfast, so... Pancake breakfast. So I've been going down there and helping Herb Jones there for a few years now, and I'll probably go down and help him again.
That's probably one of my favorites, too. It's a great way to start your day and enjoy the festivities. So that really kind of comes to the end of our interview, Phil. Is there anything else, anything interesting you want to share with our listeners? Anything about Skidigit Days?
Pretty hard to answer without any questions, so I'll just leave it at that.
All right. I want to say a big howa on behalf of Peter and myself for joining us here at
Kai Corner.
Howa, Phil.
Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Welcome back to the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast, here broadcasting live from Skidigit Haida Gwaii at Kaiolnagai, also known as
Kai Corner.
So this morning here, we have a special guest phoning in all the way from Brooklyn, New York. We'll be joined by Chris Taylor. Chris is a personal finance correspondent for Reuters, award-winning finance journalist in New York City with a focus on investing, real estate, and retirement. He's published in the Financial Times, Fortune Magazine, CNBC, Money, Men's Journal, Institutional Investor, GQ, Esquire, Smart Money, and much, much more. Welcome here this morning, Chris.
Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris. Well, we're really happy to have you on the show here joining us today. We were wondering if, just quickly for the listeners back home, if you could maybe introduce yourself a little bit and tell us a bit about your connection with Haida Gwaii and the Haida people.
Sure. Well, I'm from the West Coast originally. That's where I grew up, spent the first 20 years of my life, more or less. And then I got a job here in New York back in 2000, and I've been here ever since. But BC is still very close to my heart, and I get back as often as I can. And in particular, I had the lifelong dream of wanting to travel to Haida Gwaii, which I'd never been able to do when I was young, but it's always been in the back of my mind. And so I was doing some research, kind of planning a trip, and I was reading up on the language and read that that the number of fluent speakers was perhaps a few dozen, something like that, and I was kind of shocked and worried that that was the case. So at that point, I figured I would do what I can as a British Columbian and as someone who works with language and knows the importance of it to help out however I could. And so that's when I started looking into organizations that were working to preserve and promote the language, and that's when I came on ship. And so with the help of Kevin Borsario, who helps run the program, and all the elders doing their terrific work down there, I've been able to do a small part to help fund them.
All right, and we're very appreciative for your efforts. And so for our listeners at home are unaware, I think, I learned about you through Facebook. I think we've actually been friends for a while. And I learned about your campaign, your Indiegogo campaign, which was titled Pledge My Marathon, Help Save a Language. And you set a goal of raising $1,000 and actually raised $2,277, which was 228% of your goal. Just for the listeners at home, I want to share briefly the write-up that was found on the Indiegogo campaign. So Chris wrote, I'm running not for myself, but to help save a language. Haida Kil is the native tongue of the Haida Nation from the islands of Haida Gwaii off the northwest coast of British Columbia. The language is a Canadian cultural treasure, and it is in grave danger. It is spoken fluently by only a few dozen people, many of whom are in their 70s and 80s. The language warriors of Haida Gwaii have been fighting valiantly for years to preserve their language and for future generations. They need our help. Pledge me today, and every dime will go to the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program, which aims to preserve the Haida language through classes, books, scholarships, recordings, and apps. And I thought that was a very beautiful write-up. I was very moved. You might be a little overshadowed by LeBron's recent letter, but it was, I think, very, very obviously a cause very close to our hearts. And I think you answered a bit. We were curious about how you learned about the SHIP program, but I'm just curious if you want to share a little bit more about the fundraising effort and maybe how you helped reach out to others and help share the word about the Haida language. And just maybe, I think you're aware, but the proceeds actually went to creating a Haida clue book about the Haida canoe, which is a very beautiful publication. So can you share a little more about that fundraising campaign that you undertook during the Brooklyn Marathon through the Indiegogo website?
Sure. I had been mulling over different ways of being able to support the SHIP program, and I thought that since I had, in the last couple of years, become kind of a serious runner, I thought I would combine those two things. Since a lot of runners raise money for a lot of causes, I thought it would be a good chance to do that. Most runners tend to raise money for, you know, cancer society or leukemia or whatever, which is terrific. But I wanted to raise money for a program that maybe doesn't get all that attention and all those millions of dollars. So I was chatting with folks at SHIP about different ways I could help, and so the marathon fundraiser was one of the ideas. So last November, I ran the Brooklyn Marathon right here in town. It was my first one ever. And as you mentioned, the total ended up exceeding what I was hoping for, which was a surprise, and it was very welcome news. And then the second idea I had was to set up a bursary at the local high school, which would hopefully get kids involved in terms of learning their own language and passing this to the next generation, because since so many speakers are in their 70s and 80s, if we can get kids in their teens and their 20s getting serious about learning it, that would push it forward in time a few more decades. So those were the two ideas I had, and luckily I finished the marathon and sent a check off to SHIP. And yeah, I did see the book you were referring to, and it is very beautiful, and I heard that it's been distributed in schools already, so I'm very happy about that.
Well, Chris, everybody here on Haida Gwaii is incredibly grateful for your contributions to the Skidigit Haida Immersion Program, but this trip you're coming on now, it seems like the main focus of it is Totem to Totem, but I think before we focus in on that, I was wondering if you could give us like a brief explanation of how you got into marathon running in the first place. I mean, it's definitely not something for everybody, so I was just wondering maybe your story behind that.
I never thought it would be for me either. If you talked to me a few years ago, it would have seemed totally impossible, but I'm a dad with two young kids. They're now 5 and 8, and when they were young, I was stay-at-home looking after them, and I was kind of a sedentary lifestyle. I was out of shape. I was a little overweight. You know, I was over 200 pounds at one point. And I realized I need to do something to get my health back in order. So I figured I would start running. And at the beginning, I couldn't even run a single mile without being totally out of breath. But it's an incremental thing. And once you do 1 mile, you realize you can do two. And once you do two, you realize you can do three. And then once you do a 5K, you can do a 10K. And so gradually over the course of 2 or 3 years, I started getting into longer and longer distances. And I've done a few half marathons at this point. And then the first full marathon was the Brooklyn one last November. And then this one, the Totem to Totem, will be my second. So it kind of snuck up on me. I didn't realize that I was going to be a marathon runner, but that's turned out to be the case. And I lost about 30 pounds and in the best shape of my life. So it's kind of an addiction when you get into it, as most runners can tell you.
And it's really obviously a great way to lead by example and show your children and other people how they could live a healthier lifestyle. You are coming, Peter touched on, you're coming specifically though to run the Totem to Totem Marathon. So this isn't no vacation here for Chris. You're arriving here Friday, running Saturday, and you got to leave Sunday. So it's a quick turnaround. We're just curious, how did you even discover the Totem to Totem Marathon? And, really what inspired you to make that big jump across the continent from all the way from the BK to the SKG?
Yeah, a lot of people think I'm a little crazy for doing this. I think it's over 3,000 miles just for one weekend, including my wife. She thinks I'm a little crazy. But when I had been preparing for the Brooklyn Marathon and saying I was fundraising for Haida Gwaii, a lot of people asked me, "You mean you're doing the Totem to Totem?" And at that point, I didn't know what it was really, so I started looking into it. And it really seems like a unique event with a limited number of participants. I think only 10 or 12 people ran it last year, and in such a unique venue, So marathon at the edge of the world, how could you turn that down, really? So I took it as a reason to come out, since I wanted to come out there forever. So that's the main reason why I'm coming out. Unfortunately, I don't have more time to enjoy the islands, but I've got responsibilities here with my kids and so on. So it'll be a quick turnaround, but hopefully I'll pack a lot into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least hopefully you'll have enough time to come check out the Haida Gwaii Museum here. So before we say goodbye, I feel like I should do a little shout out for anybody who's listening at home. If you're interested in hearing more of Chris's story or getting in touch with him, you can hit him up on his Twitter, which is @ChrisTaylor_NYC.
Yeah, we're also looking forward to following you and following along to any other runners in the race. And to anyone else out there who's heard Chris' stories, he's leading by example. You can also hop a plane, come here to Haida Gwaii next year, run the Totem to Totem, come to Skidigit Days, visit the Haida Gwaii Museum, visit the Haida Heritage Center. Also follow us at Haida Heritage, #HHC is the place to be. So Chris, just before we let you go here, I know you got to pick up your kids and other things to do, but we're just curious, what are your hopes for this Saturday?
In terms of time, my time for the Brooklyn one was 3:34. So I heard from Reg Davidson, that it was kind of a nice flat course that I have to look forward to. So I'm hoping to be that time. If I can get around 3:30, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah, it's a very flat course and a Boston Marathon qualifier officially. So everyone here back at the HHC at the Haida Gwaii Museum here in Skidigit on Haida Gwaii will all be cheering you on, along with the elders from SHIP. We want to give a big hawa out to Chris for his generous contributions and assistance with saving the Haida Kill. Good luck on Saturday, Chris. We're looking forward to meeting you. And hopefully everything goes well with the race and you enjoy your time here on Haida Gwaii.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm sure I will, and I look forward to seeing you out on the course.
Good afternoon. Welcome back here to Kailna Gai, where we're broadcasting live from Kai Corner here at the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast. We're continuing to talk about Skidding It Days. And today, this afternoon in studio with us here on sunny Haida Gwaii, we have David Seymour, the founder, organizer, top dog for the Totem to Totem Marathon here in Skidding It as a part of Skidding It Days this Saturday. Welcome to studio, David.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Thanks for making time for us. I know you're busy, you know, putting the finishing touches on the marathon. We're glad you could join us here in studio.
Yeah, so thanks for coming down today, David. We'll hop right into it. And I'd just like to start by asking you a bit about the Totem to Totem Marathon. I mean, this year, it's the 8th annual marathon, and each year it's getting bigger, it's getting better. So I was wondering if you could just fill us in on how the marathon started and why it's become such an important part of Skidding It Days.
Well, it started in actually the thought started in 2003. I was sitting in a car with a fellow runner named Vince Hemmingson, who were discussing at the time that the sod turning ceremony was happening here at this building. At that point in the exercise, we were asking ourselves, who would come here to see this great place, and how would they be attracted to this great place from all over the world? And it didn't take us long to say, why don't we create a marathon and make it international so that it would be a destination marathon where people would come from all over the world to hear. We thought that it would be necessary for three reasons. It becomes part of our mission. Reason one is to get people to come to Kai and to see the islands. It's unbelievable. People need to know about this. The second reason is there needs to be some inspiration to runners locally to see people so that we can have exercising and better health for everybody. But the third is one day we might make a turn a penny or two, and our constitution has us donating all of that to the youth of Haida Gwaii. For those three reasons, Totem to Totem exists.
How, David, that's a beautiful story to tell the origins and the history of this wonderful event that's become a huge part of Skidding It Days. And myself, I was inspired. I ran the 10K one year. I was 10K champion in 2010. You can check it on the website. What's the website address?
Website is at totemtototem.com.
Well, the Totem to Totem is primarily a marathon. That was the seed. That was the beginning of this idea. But really, there's a number of other categories as well that anybody of any fitness level could participate in. Can you please fill our listeners in on the different ways that they could participate, be part of the Totem to Totem Marathon this weekend?
Thanks, Jason. The original marathon runners in 2006, the five of us that actually ran it to see how it would look like, were all marathoners. It wasn't until 2008 that we branched out and included the other three categories. We now have a half marathon, a 10K, and what we call a marafund, which is actually a walk to breakfast, which is from the start line here at the Kai Center all the way to the community hall up where there's pancakes served in the middle of Skidding It Days.
Since 2010, I've been more taking part in the marathon, walking down for breakfast with the nephews, with the family. So it's a great way to get out early and enjoy Skidding It Days, get the day started.
That's right. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, David, quickly for the listeners at home who might not know what the course is, I'm wondering if you could just tell us what course these runners go on and what experiences come along with running that course.
Well, thank you for that question. We start here right at the Kai Center, out in front of the two poles that are the closest to the Skidding It pole. What we're running actually is from the poles in the front, so please park in the back. And then we leave alongside the highway and go all the way to Skidding It and into the village. We stay on the lower road and across the old town and past the cemetery and out around the point. We join the highway on the other side, so we don't really run the hill up by the co-ops. We then head straight out to St. Mary's Spring and back. The turnaround is clearly marked at St. Mary's Spring and came all the way back. It's a fabulous run. This island and this course is just a place of beauty that you can't get anywhere else. You can run the New York Marathon and you can run the Chicago Marathon, but that's where you look at buildings and you look at the crowds on the side. Here we come, and as I say to the runners, count the eagles and see how many you can see.
That was a very good description, a beautiful description of what there is to see here on Haida Gwaii if you participate in the marathon. And you're right, I think that is a big highlight, is when you're tired, you're getting down, you're towards the end, and you have everyone in Skidigit, Front Street Skidigit, roaring, cheering for you to finish strong. You only have a little bit more to go, and I know that helps drive the runners to the finish. All right, well, how about David? So again, get here to Kyolnagai, Haida Heritage Center, early Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Cheer on those runners as they embark on the 8th annual Totem to Totem Marathon. Here we are back at the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast, a.k.a. Kai Corner. I'm here sitting with my co-host, Peter. Say hi, Peter.
How's it going?
And today we have another special guest here to talk about Skidigit Days, our theme of this week. We're excited, happy to have in with us today, Chief Counselor of the Skidigit Band Council, Billy Ivanovich. Hi, Billy.
Hello. It's my first go at the Kai Corner, so it's interesting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so Skidigit Days, as the name implies, spans over a couple days. So, Billy, I was wondering if you could let our listeners at home just give them a bit of an idea of what to look forward to on Friday.
On Friday? Well, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know Friday starts with a poker tournament.
Yeah, poker.
Poker. All you Texas Hold'em fans, get out there, bring your money up, bring your game on. It should be fun. That's starting Friday night, I know.
And the teen dance as well.
So there's something for everybody at Skidigit Days. I think that's what makes it such a special day. We've heard from a lot of the marathon participants. By the time we air our podcast, actually, some of the events will be over. One of the highlights always is the bingo, of course.
Yes, the bingo starts tomorrow night, and I've been delegated to be the caller for that night. I was at one fundraiser there, and there was nobody there to call. And I guess it went good enough that they wanted me back. So
that spokesman role extends farther than just in the chambers, I guess.
That's true.
Well, we'll update the winner of the bingo on Friday. And we'll talk about the poker a little bit as well next week. So yeah, we just wanted to mention that, you know, the proceeds do go towards this year. I believe it's the Elders and Youth programs.
The Youth Center programming, yeah. For probably somebody to run the Youth Center, I think.
For a youth worker.
Yeah, for a youth worker for a longer term, we've had little dribs and drabs, and so the major portion of the proceeds will go there.
So that's important for everyone to recognize. This is a day for the community, and the proceeds are going towards the youth, the kids. We have a beautiful youth center on Front Street, Skidigit Beach, where the kids play throughout the summer and all year, and it's a safe space. And so if you come out and you support the bingo, the poker, the teen dance, any other activities, you're actually contributing funds that go towards the youth of Skidigit. So we heard about Friday. Saturday is really the main event. The big show happens on Saturday. Leading up through the week, we mentioned there's going to be some volleyball, two-on-two basketball, the bingo, these other events. But Saturday is really the big day, and we've covered the Totem to Totem Marathon thoroughly. So can you kind of give us a little bit of a rundown of what are the must-sees and must-dos of Skidigit on the sunny Saturday?
On Saturday, well, the baseball tournaments will be going on as well, right? Slow pitch.
Softball.
We talked briefly before we started, Jay, about historically there used to be fast pitch island-wide here. It was always a big draw for all the community events like hospital days, logger sports days, Canada days. There were always big tournaments where there are always big turnouts.
Billy used to hold down the hot corner.
Yeah, I used to play third base there. Those were always fun times and well attended by all the communities to spectate that. So I hope everybody will come out and check out the slow pitch tournament.
Yeah, that's always exciting action. I'm actually participating this year with the Mind Blankers.
Mind Blankers!
We're hoping to make an upset. I'm glad you mentioned the other communities and the support and the history of softball again. So it's not a random event. Billy mentioned it used to be a big event at all community celebrations. So each community in Haida Gwaii hosts a different day, and softball fast pitch was a big part of that with the old army base. You know, more workers were here. There was actually a great time to make friends and network and come together around a sport and have a good time and make friendships, which is really what Skidding It Days is all about at the end. Is there anything else you think that's a highlight for those visitors who are from Haida Gwaii or those who are coming from afar?
On the baseball theme, there'll be the home run derby.
Home runs.
Everyone home runs. Home come runs. And bring your favorite bat out there and prepare to muscle up. I understand it's a winner-take-all deal, but that's always a highlight, the home run derby. What else to see? The fish splitting contest. It'll be down around Front Street. That's always big. Come and make your, come and show your skills with a knife and fillet some fish and do up some jilgy. There's always good prizes. That's always a big draw down at Front Street.
So for our our listeners again, jilgy is sort of like a thin fillet of salmon that we
like a jerky.
Jerky that we dry and smoke, and it's a delicacy and a favorite of many Haida people and anyone who tries it probably. All right, and then anything else? What's next to expect on Saturday?
The evening will be a big dance. That's always well attended.
Out of the Blue will be playing.
Out of the Blue will be playing, so polish up your dancing shoes. And
that'll be at the Skidding It Community Hall, I believe.
Skidding It Community Hall.
No good geekagans.
Yep. Down on Front Street. And you could probably look for your tickets around town, maybe at Town Eye, or ask around.
Yeah, there'll be a booth set up there with raffle tickets, and you should be able to get your dance tickets there.
So you can get those Saturday?
Yep.
And of course, you know, an event isn't complete without the food. What can we expect for those foodies out there?
Well, there'll be the traditional hambugglers and hot diggity doggers, hambugglers and hot diggity doggers, hambugglers, hambugglers and hot diggity doggers, I guess. I'm hearing there's supposed to be corn on a cob, fry bread for everybody.
Thousands of pieces go each year, I hear.
Might be some fresh crab, and there'll be a salmon barbecue later.
Big salmon barbecue dinner, so you can get down to Front Street, get your own plate there. I believe it's $12 a plate for a fresh salmon barbecue dinner on the waterfront here in Skidding It, Haida Gwaii, a once-in-a-lifetime unique experience that you can only get here in Skidding It. So that's something to really look forward to. Yeah, so really there's lots to do, lots to see. Good cause, you know, come out, support the youth of Skidding It, come have a good time, get yourself some fry bread, get yourself some salmon, watch some softball, fish splitting. There's a number of booths for children, fish ponds, other games as well. We've already hyped up thoroughly the pancake breakfast Saturday morning, where we're looking to see Phil and Uncle Herb down there helping serve up the pancakes. So it's a great way to start your day. And there's many of activities going all throughout the day and into the evening as well.
Really, all in all, there's something for everybody, all generations. So come on out early and spend the day.
It might seem like sort of a random collection of events and activities, but really they all, you know, tie back to our culture and our contemporary culture and our history and things that have become popular to us. So it's a great chance to come out, do some gambling, eat some salmon, and do some dancing, of course. Everybody loves to dance, so get out there, cut up a rug. And again, you know, if you want to learn more about our history and our tradition and preparing food and salmon, how we would prepare and serve our traditional foods, you can come here to the museum and see feast dishes and boxes and spoons and different pieces in our temporary gallery, along with other elements of traditional song and dance. We have a Gujiao's drum on display. We have a plethora of masks on display. So all of those things, the gambling, the salmon, the dancing, are all have connections to our history and culture, which you can come down here to the Haida Gwaii Museum and check out in our temporary show that's on right now, which we call Gina Suda Tul Hasi. So come down and see us this weekend at Skidigit Days. We are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Well, Billy, we'd like to thank you for coming down to the Haida Gwaii Museum podcast, or as we like to call it,
Kai Corner.
And we're just wondering, just before you leave, if there's any messages you'd like to share to our listeners at home on behalf of the band council.
We'd just like to pass on. It sounds like the canoe races are going to happen as well. There's always a draw, so get your teams together. I'm not exactly sure who'll be coordinating at this point. I hadn't heard, but
I think it'll be a little bit later, potentially in the evening. So you might be able to get your salmon barbecue dinner and watch the canoe races, hopefully.
Yeah, so I encourage everybody to get a team together and to watch that as well. Those are always exciting. Just like to thank everybody in advance for coming out to check out our big community day of Skidigit Days. And the proceeds are going to a worthy cause. And I'd encourage you to have a look at the youth center while you're there, as well as, like Jay said, come down to Kyle Nagai and check things out here as well.
All right, you heard it here first on Kai Corner. Get out to Skidigit Days, have some fun, do some gambling, eat some salmon, do some dancing, watch some softball. There's really something for everybody, so if you're not at Skidigit Days, you're missing out. And if you can't make it this year, you could always come next year. Start planning now. It's really easy to get here to Haida Gwaii. And there's really, truly once-in-a-lifetime unique experiences that happen here where you can not only learn more and experience Haida Gwaii, but hopefully make some friends and some connections that will be with you for a lifetime. So come visit us here in Skidigit. Big howa to Billy for taking the time out of his day to come speak with us. It means a lot to us here to share more about Skidigit Days, and we're excited for the weekend. Howa, Billy.
Howa, I've enjoyed Kai Corner.
So with that, we conclude our second episode of
Kai Corner.
Jason, what did we learn about Skidigit Days in this podcast?
Well, Peter, I think we are successful in our attempt to sort of uncover some of the history and the origins of Skidigit Days. And talking to Philip Gladstone, we learned that Skidigit Days really kicked off with the opening of the Skidigit Longhouse on Front Street and the raising of the dogfish pole carved by Bill Reed. So that longhouse and that pole were the first to be carved, built, and raised here in Haida Gwaii in over 100 years. So that was a great reason to celebrate. And each year, we've been celebrating the anniversary of that event, which has become Skidigit Days. So for all of our listeners at home, Skidigit Days really is a significant cultural event where we recognize that important part of our history and the resurgence of Haida culture. So with events, we talked about gambling, you know, how important gambling was in our history, you know, salmon, gambling, dancing, all important things to us. And of course, the canoe races. So back in 78, there wasn't even a canoe to race at that time before Lutos was carved. So really, Skidigit Days is a celebration of our history and our culture and the resurgence, which really ties into the show we have here at the museum. Gina Suda Tul Hasi came to tell something. So we're really grateful for our guests for coming to help share their stories. And I think we learned a lot.
So there you have it. Here at the Haida Gwaii Museum, we aim to inspire respect and understanding for all that Haida Gwaii is. So we hope that we were able to do that for you this week about Skidigit Days. If you have any ideas, thoughts, or comments that you'd like to share with us about the podcast, feel free to hit us up on our Facebook at Haida Gwaii Museum or on our Twitter at Haida Heritage. And be sure to use the key hashtag
HHC is the place to be.
So until next Friday, where we will be talking about sports on Haida Gwaii, we would like to say goodbye, and thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of
Kai Corner.
Gogwees out.
Professional Pete is out.
These are our days, we do it our way. Everyone have a good time, let's party. Check all your worries up at the door. Get your ass on the dance floor. Grab yourself a lady, grab from behind.